Shoot Around Podcast on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com, the place to talk all levels of Chicago hoops, pro, college, and high school. I am Sam Panionovich as we welcome you in to 2016. Hope you enjoyed the family, the friends, the vacation. First episode since the ball dropped on the new year. And it's interesting, at the beginning of the show, we're talking about the same thing we talked about at the end of 2015, a minor injury to Derrick Rose. One of the best high school players in the history of the IHSA made his return last week, played in his first ever pro game in Chicago. Didn't go his way, but he got revenge last night. If you don't know the name Bryant McIntosh, you will shortly. One of the best young players in the Big Ten. He plays here locally in the Chicagoland area. Only a sophomore, but he's got big goals in mind. An NCAA tournament berth, which would be the first in his school's history. Plus, in the second half, we will dive into the best team in professional sports, the Golden State Warriors. They've played 38 games this season. They've lost two. Dieter Kurtenbach of KNBR, senior staff writer there in the Bay Area, will hop in and take us into that locker room and tell you why Steph Curry is even more special than you already know. We'll start out talking Bulls basketball, though. Bulls fall to Milwaukee last night, 106-101 at the Bradley Center. That's kind of burying the lead, though, because the biggest headline out of the game is another minor knee injury to Derrick Rose. A couple possessions into the second half, Rose on the bench, getting examined by the medical staff. He exited with left patella tendonitis. This is on the heels of the hamstring tendonitis that he suffered a couple weeks back, on the heels of a knee soreness issue that he battled a couple weeks before that. You know the deal. It's the same old story. It's the same old song and dance. When he starts to get in a groove, starts to get consistent, something goes wrong. And then it takes him more time to get back into the groove, only to go through this vicious cycle over and over and over again. I feel bad for him. I really do. And Derek will tell you he's not worried, and the coaching staff will say maybe he'll miss a little bit of time, but, I mean, look at the past couple of years. Fans have built up hope time and time again, only to see Derrick Rose play great spurts of basketball, but something goes wrong. And this is a team all season long, as a whole. We're not just talking about Derrick Rose here. They've been plagued by two things: inconsistency and injuries. Well, you want to talk about the six-game winning streak they just had? Fine, you're right. That was a great stretch of basketball. Zoom out just a little bit, though. Around that six-game winning streak, in the last 14 games the Bulls have played, do you know their record? Don't look. They're 7-7, and they've given up 100 points 10 out of those 14 games. That's what this team is. You'll see flashes of brilliance. The offense will work wonders some nights. But if you can't stop anybody, you're not going to the NBA Finals. You might not make it out of the second round of the playoffs. And Jimmy Butler is continuously frustrated. We know what he said about Fred Hoiberg, that this team needs to be coached harder. That came out before Christmas after a devastating loss the Bulls had in New York. And they rattled off some wins, and that was great. But now, they've just been abused in the last three games. Three losses in a row. Gave up 120 at Atlanta, 114 at home against Washington, and they lose to Milwaukee, like we said last night, 106-101. Al Horford ate them alive in the pick and roll. Then it was John Wall doing whatever he wanted with the Wizards. Last night, Derrick Rose goes out, ball stops moving, and here we are. How long will Derrick Rose miss? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it's so unfortunate that this team, which, when healthy, can be dangerous, but they have proven over the course of the Derrick Rose era, whether it's D. Rose, whether it's Joakim Noah, Pau Gasol last year with the hamstring in the postseason, somebody's going to get hurt. That's the roulette wheel. You don't know who it is, but the ball will land on somebody's number. And that has been the problem with this group. The championship window, this is probably it for this group this season. But you know deep down, they're not a title contender. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on this. You know it's going to be an ongoing issue. Is Derek okay? When will Derek play? Is he efficient? Can he put together 2 weeks of basketball? Who knows? Let's turn the clock back 10 years or so to healthier times. Derrick Rose is starring at Simeon High School on the South Side, 81st and Vincennes. The Wolverines are a powerhouse, and they continue to be so today. So Derrick's in high school, and there's a young, sort of chubby kid in grade school, can't be more than 5'5", 5'6". He wants to come in and play with some of the Simeon guys. His name? Jabari Parker. I asked D. Rose about what it was like to finally, for the first time, play against Jabari Parker in the NBA last week.
It's kind of crazy. I'm playing against Jabari right now. Like, I remember Jabari coming. I used to practice with Jabari when I was in high school, like a sophomore. He was like in eighth grade, seventh grade, or something like that. And he was short then. I know he was going to be like 6'8", but. You could tell it paid off for him, too, also, as far as working out, being a gym rat. He loves the game, his IQ of the game. It just takes time playing, and it takes time to improve your game, too. And he still got room for improvement.
You know the story, how it played out. Jabari Parker grew. As you heard, Derrick Rose didn't think he would grow to be 6'8". Jabari won 4 consecutive state titles at Simeon for the Wolverines under head coach Robert Smith, playing alongside Kendrick Nunn and Jalen Tate, who are now at the University of Illinois. But Jabari was the show. He was a Parade All-American, McDonald's All-American, 2-time Illinois Mr. Basketball, the Gatorade Illinois Player of the Year. Coming into his senior year, he was the consensus number one player in the country. Then had a foot injury. He had to miss a couple of games. Still won that 4 state title. The second player to do that and start for 4 consecutive state champs. The other guy, Sergio McClain, he was the first to do it, and he went and starred at U of I under Bill Self. And Parker drafted 2nd overall in the 2014 NBA draft after one dominant year at Duke, where he set the single-season scoring record at Duke by a freshman, just under 20 points a game. Taken 2nd overall by the Milwaukee Bucks in that draft, just behind Andrew Wiggins. Unfortunately, lightning struck, just like it did to Derrick Rose. Another Simeon superstar comes into the league and tears an ACL. Jabari, on the rebound still, only played in 25 games last year. He's at 33 this year, but it was special last week. Jabari making his first NBA appearance at the United Center, a building he played in time and time again in high school.
I usually think of like downtown because it's not too many folks going to the South Side. So, but, you know, that's home. That's home for me. You know, Chicago is a part of home, but I'm from the South Side, and that's home.
Just playing against Derek, does that change for you too, or do you still look at it as special?
Yeah, it's always special, man. That's a guy I always looked up to.
Short, sweet, to the point. Jabari Parker's still a kid. He's 20 years old. He can't walk into a bar and legally buy a drink. Still sort of bouncing back from that injury. I think he's still sort of figuring out his role on this Bucks team. Jason Kidd hasn't been around the squad. He had surgery. They brought in Greg Monroe, Milwaukee. So lots of moving pieces in the last 12 months. Jabari's still getting acclimated, but the talent is still there. He scored 16 points last night, grabbed 3 boards, had 3 steals as the Bulls lost in Milwaukee 106-101. And Jabari, he'll be fine. I have all the faith in the world. The kid's always been a winner, and he'll find a way to get in a groove and play some solid basketball for a long time. Speaking of special players, this is maybe somebody you haven't heard of, and he doesn't play in the pros. Some scouts feel like he will, though, make that leap, whether it's in the NBA or maybe over in Europe. He's the point guard for the Northwestern Wildcats. Out of Newcastle, Indiana, a sophomore named Bryant McIntosh. His star continues to rise.
7:12 to go. McIntosh moving left. McIntosh high lob, the alley-oop, and the slam dunk by Van Zegrin. Cats lead it 50-47. Doesn't go back to him. He backs it out. 15 to shoot. He pulls up, takes a 3. Good! Bryant McIntosh, Hands to McIntosh, high right. 18 to shoot. McIntosh circles free for a jumper. Good! Off the dribble. Cats lead it by 8. That is it. The ball game is over. And the Wildcats win for the first time since 2010. The Cats beat the Badgers here in Welsh Ryan Arena.
Highlights courtesy of WGN Radio. Dave Ennett on the call along with Joey Meyer as the Cats beat Wisconsin last night. A big win for the Wildcats in Evanston. They'd lost 6 in a row to Wisconsin, a team that has been the back-to-back Final Fours, national championship game appearance last year. And granted, they lost a lot, namely Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. But name value, that's a big basketball brand in Wisconsin. And Northwestern fell behind 47-45, rolled into a 12-3 run midway through that second half, spearheaded by Bryant McIntosh, who scored 20 in the second half. He finished with 28 points and 5 assists, blowing Bronson Koenig out of the water. McIntosh was not a preseason All-Big Ten selection. Koenig was, and he finished with 9 points and no helpers. When McIntosh committed to Northwestern and Chris Collins, he said that he would be shocked if the Cats didn't make the tournament by his sophomore year. And he is so good. His stats, even from last year, just the improvement in one season. Last year, 11 points a game, 5 assists a game. This year, he came into last night's game at 15 points a game, 7 assists. He wants the ball with the game on the line. He makes plays. Stepped into a 3, came around screens, drilled jumpers all game long, took it to the 10, made some tough acrobatic layups. The alley-oop to Van Zegren. This kid can ball. And when Chris Collins finally brings Northwestern to the tournament for the first time, whether it's this year or next year, it'll be because of Bryant McIntosh. He's one of the best players they've ever had in school history. And he's only a sophomore. Don't look now, but the Wildcats are 15-3. They can find 6 or 7 more wins in this Big Ten schedule, they're going to the dance. And you should pay attention and remember the name, Bryant McIntosh. Coming up on the shoot-around, we dial up Dieter Kurtenbach out in the Bay Area. He covers the scene for KNBR in California. He's been on the daily beat for the Golden State Warriors, and he's all around Steph Curry. He thinks they can beat the Bulls' record of 72 wins. That's next on WGN. Welcome back. It is the shoot-around on WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com, the place where we cover all things basketball. But sometimes it's good to talk about more than hoops. And we talk to guys that are from here, guys that grew up here, guys that cover the sport. And this guy checks all those boxes. His name is Dieter Kurtenbach on Twitter, at DKurtenbach, now with KNBR out in California, senior staff writer there. He covers one of the most exciting teams, not only in basketball, but in sports, and that's the Golden State Warriors. And Dieter joins us now late here in Chicago. What's going on, Dieter? How are you?
I'm just asking in the glow of 36-2. The Warriors are, there's something else. It's haven't really gotten my mind around it yet.
And you haven't been around it that much, so you have fresh eyes around this team. You kind of caught it at the perfect point of the storm. I'm not going to say you should take credit for this run, but it's been one of the most miraculous and remarkable stories in the last 12 months.
So the Warriors on Monday night, they beat the Miami Heat to get 36 wins. So, of course, the story is they're halfway to 72 wins, and we can start talking about them challenging that all-time great 96 Bulls team. And so I started talking to guys, and I realized that I got to San Francisco in December of 2014. And that's when the Warriors had just started to figure out Steve Kerr's system. The turnovers kind of came down a lot. Steph Curry sort of found another gear. And they have been a buzzsaw. They have just been steamrolling teams since then. And it's just been 12 months of just juggernaut basketball. I've never seen anything like it. And it's to the point now where I'm taking it for granted. They are something else, though.
I remember watching that game earlier this year. The Bulls were in Golden State at Oracle, which, by the way, they're unstoppable at Oracle Arena. 36 wins in a row. This season, they're 18-0. Good luck beating them there. So they're going to have home court likely in the postseason. But it was tied late, and then they go to that Death Star lineup with the five small guys, and the spurt ability, the chance that they can put together 12 points in 2 minutes, I don't remember ever seeing a team that could throw that many points up on the board in such a short period of time and completely take you out of a game.
Yeah, they're so versatile, and that's not surprising when you look at the guys they have on the team, but Chris Bosh was saying it on Monday night. He was like, every guy on that team is 6'6". They're all long. They can all jump, they can all pass, and they can all shoot. What the hell are we supposed to do with these guys? And that's absolutely right. The ability, and Draymond Green is everything you could want in a basketball player. Everyone talks about Steph Curry for good reason. Klay Thompson does not get enough love. He's one of the five best two-way players in the NBA. But Draymond Green has turned into just an absolute superstar this year. They're running the offense through him. Last year, he was just this unbelievable defensive force at 6'6". I mean, this dude is a legit 6'6". I'm telling you right now, a lot of guys, he might even be 6'5". He's guarding Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph. He's banging in the low post. He guards Dwight Howard. He goes up against the best centers in the NBA, and not just the stretch five. And he's able to lock those guys down. He gets a rebound. He can go the entire length of the court. It's like people don't even want to get in his way. He's like a runaway bowling ball. I've never seen anything like him. He's equal parts Dennis Rodman and Magic Johnson. And that sounds hyperbolic. It sounds almost blasphemous, but that's what he has turned into this year. I wrote a column a couple weeks back. He should get MVP votes. He's been so good this season. The Warriors won 67 games last year. They're challenging for 72, and the difference, Steph Curry's been awesome. Everyone's been really, really good. But Draymond Green going to the to another level has really taken this team into an all-time great stratosphere.
You're a hoop guy. I watched those big three players in college, and I didn't see above-average NBA players. I mean, Steph Curry out of Davidson, he went 7th in the draft. Klay Thompson went 11th. Now, they're lottery picks, but they weren't can't-miss prospects. And then Draymond Green went in the second round. He went 35th overall. So I think it's the perfect mix of guys who are talented, who work hard, but they still feel like they have something to prove. I mean, they just won an NBA championship, and they're not satisfied at all. That's the sense that I get.
Yeah, and that's such a cliche thing to say, but it's absolutely true. I asked Draymond about 72 wins and things like that, and he was like, we can't take anything for granted. The Spurs are right on their heels. The Spurs are only 3 games back. The Warriors have won 95% of their games this season. We're almost halfway through the year. They've won 95% of the games, and the Spurs are still 3 games back. So that's keeping them honest. Steve Kerr not being around has sort of put them on substitute teacher mode. To a certain extent, Kerr kept that team pretty grounded in resting guys and sort of teaching them how to pace themselves. Kerr's been around the team a lot lately, but he isn't in charge. Luke Walton's in charge, and Luke Walton could still be playing if he wanted to. So they're in a bit, they don't really know. They don't have the restrictor plate on, to steal a term from NASCAR. There's a lot of stuff going on, but this is a team that is always, when they won that first title, they were very clear. They want to win multiple titles, because if you win one title, you can be as good as the Dallas Mavericks in 2007. If you win multiple titles, you're talked about as a dynasty, and the dynasties are the ones that last forever in the NBA.
Dieter Kurtenbach with us, WGN Radio. It's the Shoot Around. I'm Sam Panayotovic. We could talk about as many stats as we want with Steph Curry. We could throw out 30 points a game, 5 boards a game, 7 dimes a game. We could throw out the 50, 45, 90 club, 50 from the field, 45 from 3, 90 from the line. My favorite stat, though, he's got 166 threes this year. He's going to shatter the single season record, which he holds, by the way. He has 166 made threes. The Timberwolves as a team have 188.
And he's not forcing these threes either. I mean, the Warriors shoot threes in transition a lot. They're more so than any other team I've seen. At the same time, this is creating his own shot, and at the same time in the offense, it's hard to really explain in words. No one's doing what Steph Curry has done. This is revolutionary on top of revolutionary on top of revolutionary. The thing that's jumped out at me, I think Steph Curry could get a vote for most improved player this season, and he won MVP last year. He's been, I'm not even joking.
I know.
So much better. He's been so much better at just running the offense. He's finding nooks and crannies on his own shot. With Green sort of running the offense out of the high post, they've found ways to get him open in very exotic manners. His defense has gotten a lot better, especially in that Death Star lineup, as you call it. We call it the Death lineup over here. No one's really come up with a good name for it yet, but that's like the killer lineup with Green at center. He sort of plays like a free safety in that role. He's been getting a lot of steals in that regard. His on-ball defense has gotten a lot better. He's no longer a liability. They're no longer putting Klay Thompson on the James Hardens of the world. His ball handling has become flashier and yet tighter. It's something else. He made a massive leap from an MVP season to, again, we're now dealing with where does this season from Steph Curry stack up in the pantheon of all-time great seasons? And Draymond Green is doing stuff that hasn't been done since Grant Hill, and he's tying a lot of franchise records set by Wilt Chamberlain. Steph Curry is doing stuff that literally no one has done before. So the question is, he is now setting the bar. How high will he set it? And then can he exceed his own bar next season? It's mind-boggling stuff that he's doing. It's really just fascinating to watch unfold because it seems to even be getting better on a game-by-game basis.
Here in Chicago, we see the highlights. That's really all we see of Warriors games. I mean, they play the Bulls once a season, so we don't really get a taste of the everyday grind. You're there every day, and you're there around the team all the time. What's it like to cover him as a player? Because, like I said, we see the 35-foot threes, and we see him walking out of the tunnel and throwing them in from 50 feet, you know, before the game and stuff, and the fancy passes and the sick handles and everything that he does well on highlight reels. But, you know, take me inside that locker room. What's he like as a person? What's he like to cover?
He's like the nicest guy in the world. I mean, it's so comical. It shouldn't be this easy to do my job. I mean, it's such a pleasure. And I've covered some really crappy teams to cover. I dealt with Carl Pelini in South Florida for a while through his whole cocaine thing. I guess the joke is the Warriors are so easy to cover and the guys are so personable and they're so down to earth. Steph Curry is the best basketball player in the world. You can go one way or another on LeBron James. I think Steph Curry is a revolutionary basketball force, a one-of-a-kind player. Steph refers to the media members by their first name. He cracks jokes. You can go on and off the record with them whenever you want. It's just mind-boggling how easy it is. He's a real person. It's hard to kind of view him in both realms because you deal with Steph Curry, the person who's just a normal guy who wants to talk about the Carolina Panthers, and then you deal with, oh yeah, the MVP of the NBA.
The killer. The killer.
Yeah, like, I have a hard time reconciling it. He seems to be just fine with it, so no worries in that regard. But then, you know, the 49ers are on the other hand, so it sort of evens out for me in the wash.
You make me want to trade places with you now because I have to deal with Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler and Joakim Noah, and it's nothing against them, but I mean, inside that locker room, it's so volatile at times because the team is so up and down, and I don't know how much of the Bulls you've seen this year, but there are nights when they look like they're a top five team in the league, and there are nights when they get blown out by the friggin' Charlotte Bobcats, you know? I mean, and they're not even the Bobcats anymore.
I kind of like what the Hornets are doing. I think Frank Kaminsky was a pretty good, I don't think he's as good as Justice Winslow, but I think Frank Kaminsky was a pretty good pickup for the Hornets there, and he's a Chicago kid, but maybe the Warriors are setting the bar too high, because the Warriors have lost two games out of 38. And so if every other team is kind of doing what the Bulls are doing in the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of up and down in the NBA this year. There's a lot of parity in that middle core, except you just have two totally awesome elite teams, one of which is doing something that no team has ever done before. So I can see where the Bulls are with it. I think that they finally just need to make the decision. I mean, I know that it's Jimmy Butler's team, but it just seems like they need to put out a press release or something that just says, this is Jimmy Butler's team, Derrick Rose is the sidekick, Joakim Noah has been outrun by the pace and space NBA, but we're going with Jimmy, because they seem to be so stuck between identities. I think it really bothers them on a night-by-night basis just watching them.
We're talking with Dieter Kurtenbach from KNBR, senior staff writer on Twitter, at @dkurtenbach. He covers the Golden State Warriors, all things really Bay Area sports. You went to Fenwick High School. You're a Friar. I'm a fellow Catholic leaguer. I went to Mount Carmel. Fly with the caravan crew still. Corey Maggette went to Fenwick. Antoine Walker went to Mount Carmel. Have you seen Twan lately? Twan's like almost 350 pounds.
I saw Corey Maggette the other day, and he was looking really cut. So the trade-off is pretty significant. I would take Corey Maggette in the pickup game. I have not seen Twan lately. But Twan would have really loved the modern NBA. I think him and Steph Curry would have had consistent shootouts. I know Steph would have won, but Twan would have really enjoyed extending his range out to 35, 40 feet, just pulling up in transition. I think he really would have enjoyed it. And maybe the Warriors would have given him 10 day.
You and I have been out before. When you're home, when you're back in Chicago and you're with the family, you have to tell me the spots you come to go eat, because everybody's got, you know, it's Portillo's or it's Malnati's or it's Giordano's or Riccobetti's. Yeah. I mean, where does Dieter Kurtenbach go to eat? Where does he throw the cash on the counter when he's back in town?
Dude, it's Johnny's at Elmwood Park. It has to be Johnny's at Elmwood Park.
I've never been.
What?
No. No.
It's the best beef in Chicago, man.
The best beef in Chicago? I don't know about that.
I stand by it. I stand by Johnny's. You go get a combo, juicy hot. It's game over, man. Nothing beats that. And less than a block away, but one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life, the Alpine Sandwich Shop. Elmwood Park, that's my old hobby. I ride my bike there every day. It was across the street from a Dominic's that's closed now. That's the spot. It was literally cash on the counter. Johnny's in Elmwood Park. It's on North Avenue. You have to go.
It's so funny how passionate people get about their favorite food places. When I was in college, I was back home on break, and one of the girls I was talking to at the time said, we got to go to Gene and Jude's. It's the best place ever. I thought it sucked. I didn't like it. But
what?
Those were, and you're obviously opposed as well, but people get so enamored and so loyal to their food places, and they overhype them out of this world.
No, okay, first off, there is no overhyping Johnny's. Johnny's is best in the world. I mean, that is the best beef in Chicago. The fact that you haven't had it, I can't trust any opinion you have on Italian beef in the city, because I can understand if you have, you know, if you like Al's better.
No, I don't go to Al's. No, Al's, no.
I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of people who like something other than Johnny's, but they've had Johnny's. They're able to actually discuss it in a knowledgeable sense. If you haven't had Johnny's, that's like, how do you pick the best Beatles album without having listened to the White Album? You can't have that conversation.
So you go from River Forest, you go to college in Columbia at Mizzou, then you're in Fort Lauderdale covering college sports, now in the Bay Area. I assume Germany's next. What is next for you? What's not? It's going to be tough to leave that Warriors beat, because this team is going to be a perennial contender, but where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Be hiring? No. I'd love to get back to Chicago. That's where my heart is. But, you know, I try to keep up as best I can. The Bay Area keeps me, as they would say out here, hella busy. But it's great to be out here. It's just a fascinating time to be in the Bay Area. I'm sure that the rent prices are going to force me to move to Sacramento here pretty soon.
Oh, so, next to Vladdy. Maybe Vladdy will let you live in his penthouse.
Yeah. Me and Vivek will hang out with Usher on Friday nights. But that's a disaster.
Those are my guys, though. I grew up, and I'm Serbian, I grew up watching that Sacramento Kings team with Divac and Stojakovic. Those were my guys.
And that was a hell of a team. They haven't, I hate to break it to you, they've only gotten worse since then. And they have, DeMarcus Cousins is one of the five best players in the NBA, and that's a much larger conversation for another time. I love DeMarcus Cousins. He's a hothead, he's all that stuff. This dude is prodigiously talented. He's a perfect modern big in the NBA now that he has a good jump shot. And they put Rajon Rondo around them and just, like, Rudy Gay. And just, it's so sad that someone's got a free boogie out of that situation in Sacramento, but I don't see him leaving. But in terms of me, man, it's too good getting to watch this Warriors team every night. It's too good. And, you know, maybe the 49ers will turn it around. I got it good with Cal and Stanford football out here, and get the Sharks every now and again. I mean, I'm in a good spot, but if something hot opens up in Chicago, let it be known, I won't hesitate.
Yeah, come back to these slick iced roads and the minus 15 degree weather. That's what you miss the most. That's certainly...
You've never had to sit in the open-air press box at AT&T Park in San Francisco in August as it's 41 degrees with a 40-degree wind whipping in on it. Then you're thinking to yourself, I can handle a winter if you give me some relief from this nonsense.
So wait, Bonds was on roids and had that wind?
Yeah, that's the only way you get it out of that ballpark. You have to be totally loaded up.
You sat in any of those boats yet in McCovey Cove?
Dude, you couldn't pay me to get in one of those boats. Because you tilt over in that thing, you die of hypothermia in a second. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dweeby dudes who are doing coding and stuff, but there's some tough SOBs out here when it comes to the outdoor stuff. Those dudes who get in the boats, that takes it takes a lot of layers and a certain amount of gall.
Last thing for you, Dieter, and I really appreciate your time here on WGN. The only question that I really, really, really need answered is how many wins at the end of the regular season do the Golden State Warriors have in 2015-16?
Realistically speaking, they have 70. I think they pull off 73, though. I'm going to hold it. 73-9, final regular season record. I think that the Spurs are going to fade away, and the Warriors won't go for it. If I had to put my money on it, they're going to have 70. They'll come up short. They won't go for it at the end. But they could do 73. There's not a doubt in my mind that if they put their mind to it, they can do 73, and it wouldn't hurt their chances of winning the title. So I'm hoping that the Spurs keep pushing and that they keep forcing the Warriors to stay in it, because, man, it would be just – that'd just be awesome to see someone. That's like DiMaggio's hit record. Until someone beats it, I won't believe it, because 72 is so ridiculous. And in this modern NBA with all the refs and all everything that's going on with injuries and – such a deep league. Man, they could pull off 73. I think that stands forever.
Enjoy the ride. You could read his stuff, knbr.com. Senior staff writer for KNBR, Dieter Kurtenbach, at dkurtenbach on Twitter. When you get back to town, hit me up.
You know it. You absolutely know it. We'll go to Johnny.
Thank you for listening to The Shootaround. We'll be back next week. For all things Chicago basketball, it's very simple. WGNRadio.com. Search for The Shootaround.